I'm sure life teaches something to us, and that's what I'm going to share with you in this last part of my story. What I've learned from all of this, some of the things anyway, there's a lot more that could be said, but I hope you'll get something from the things that I have learned so far. Got a long way to go yet, unless I fall under a bus tomorrow. So it's not over yet. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News, but I'm sharing my story at the moment until I return to the Book of Romans. This story is about a failed life under the mercy of God and what this life has learned. So, walk with me in this last episode of the story. So, what have I learned from a life? Not a life that is over yet, I don't think, by a long shot, unless the Lord takes me today or tomorrow. But there's still a lot to learn. But what have I learned so far? And what have I learned of a life in Christ? Because I really don't think there's a lot to learn from a life outside of God, outside of Christ. We are God's children, were created in His image. Without an awareness of that and a trust in Him by faith in relation to who we are in Him, I don't think there's a lot of learning that can be done. I think one of the things that I have learned from my life so far is that all trouble is designed to bring us to Him. Whether it's trouble from circumstances that are beyond our control, or trouble that we brought upon ourselves by our own foolishness, it all is the same. It's meant to draw us to Him. This is the great news of the gospel. You see, as long as we keep open to Him, calling upon Him, relying on Jesus, none of our sin struggles come under judgment. When you have a trouble in your life, God is not saying, "You are so bad, you're out of my kingdom. I reject you. I put you under banishment." That is not it. As we call out to Him, as we trust in Jesus Christ, those troubles are instruments to move us towards Him. They are instruments of grace. They are not judgments. Now, how do I come to that? Did I come to that conclusion? Well, the gospel itself in the book of Romans. It was so profound for me to learn that we are not judged by the law. I learned, of course, about the law in my life prior to knowing the gospel was a constant condemnation, a constant reminder that I was falling short, a constant challenge to be perfect, a perfection which I felt and knew I could never reach. But I learned from the gospel to do something about my mind. It wasn't to give it drugs. It wasn't to give it medication. It was to speak to it by faith. Prior to that time, my mind just was me. It was who I was. If I worried, if I stressed out, if I was afraid, if I was lustful, if I felt condemned and guilty, if I was obsessive, that was all about me. That's what I was. But faith taught me that I could speak into my mind. I suppose many Christians simply don't seem to understand this. Faith is different from the mind somehow. I know it's part of the mind in another way, but the truth is that faith is a gift from God, and it directs the mind. It speaks into the mind. It says, "You may not condemn me. You have no right to speak this way towards me. I will not regard what you say." Faith instructs the mind. That's one of the greatest truths I have learned throughout life. So I can speak peace into my mind. I can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." I can say with David in Psalm 40, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, and you shall yet praise Him, who is your countenance and your God." You see, that's faith, the spirit of faith speaking into the mind. Prior to knowing the good news, I never knew how to speak into my mind. I was always terrified by my mind and how it thought and what it felt. It's one of the greatest truths of the gospel to know how to speak into our minds. And I learned that all our wounds of childhood are not destructive necessarily and lead us to victims of misfortune, but all our wounds of childhood are meant to draw us near to the heart of God. We felt alone as children, or abused perhaps as children, or perhaps we were physically deformed in some way, or unusually sick. And these experiences of childhood, or this neglect of childhood perhaps in an abusive situation, are not meant to crush us, to destroy us, but to draw us to the heart of our Father through Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn. How strange a statement Jesus makes there. How blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Have you not mourned? I have mourned many, many times over the griefs and losses that I have experienced in life, especially those coming from the polio and the homosexuality. But I thank God now that they drew me to Him. I learned as well throughout my life, and have come to learn, that the incredible God, the creator of this universe, took all of His judgment and wrath against sin upon Himself. My God is not wrathful against me anymore. He's not wrathful because He took that upon Himself. He decided to go under its judgment. He decided to not only experience what man was experiencing, but take all of man's judgment upon Himself. It crushed Him, of course, at the cross. Christ, God the man, was crushed at the cross, separated from His Father. There was a split in the Trinity. I have come to be awed by this doctrine, this teaching, this reality, that God went into crisis for me, the whole universe. He went into crisis for the whole universe. I've come to learn that. I've come to learn that by faith, when I feel judged, when I feel bad, when I feel just inadequate for the task, when I can't move myself forward, when I move, in fact, backwards, I've come to believe, Lord God, You appeased Your judgment of the world by placing Yourself under that judgment instead of me. I think another thing that I've come to learn, well, I know it, is that Christ is my righteousness. I had been, from the age of 15 to about 30, brought up in a church that tried to teach me that we could become perfect, that there would be a last day people who perfectly reflected the law of God, and thus proved that God was not unjust in giving His law. This became an enormous emotional terror and trauma to me. I have come to learn about the nature of religious neurosis, that people already are deeply worried and wounded and stressed out and paranoid, but when they get a false religious teaching on top of that, it is like dumping a mountain on a molehill. It is just overwhelming. I have come to learn that Christ is my perfection, that Jesus Christ is counted as my righteousness. I came to learn that He isn't the means to my righteousness. I don't somehow imbibe or absorb or get wrapped in the Holy Spirit so that slowly He makes me righteous like Christ. Rather, the Holy Spirit keeps affirming to my heart that Jesus Christ is my righteousness, that He is counted as mine. This has given me peace over the years that I could never had in the days in England and the days in New York when I was a young minister, where I was so anxious. And that being counted as righteous doesn't leave me indifferent towards my sins, but rather encourages me to challenge them, take them on a little bit more, knowing, though, that I'm not condemned in defeat or failure. And then I've come to learn about the precious truth that the kingdom of grace is upon me. And that kingdom is described by Paul as freedom from wrath, sin, law, and death. That God's wrath, which is his abandonment under the powers of sin, is no longer upon me. I'm no longer abandoned under the power of wrath. And the power of sin is no longer mine. Even though I may sin, I am not brought under its judgment. I am not brought under its identity, for I'm dead to the power of sin, according to Romans 6. And I'm no longer under the condemnation of the law. I'm dead to the law, so that I do not allow my mind, when it tries to tell me that I don't measure up, that I'm inadequate and condemned, I don't allow my mind to speak against me. But by faith I affirm that Christ is my righteousness, and I'm not under the power of death. Romans 8. I'm rather under the power of his resurrection, so that all the troubles I go through in a day are not deathly troubles destroying me, but rather instruments of life and resurrection. This is what I've learned about the kingdom of grace. When Jesus said in the book of Mark, the time has come. The time has come. The kingdom is at hand. And that means the kingdom has arrived. Now I know what the kingdom is. It is Christ's presence who has removed God's wrath so I can enter into the home of God himself, removed the identity of sin so that I'm counted as resurrected in him, removed the condemnation of the law, and given me identity in him so that I'm counted as resurrected. All of these wonderful things I have learned over the years. The forces of this earthly kingdom, wrath, sin, law, and death, are no longer operative in the man of God who trusts in him. Not a man of perfect goodness, but a man who trusts in his mercy. These are some things that I have learned and seek to live by. You've probably heard from the announcements so far that we are desperately in need of new computer equipment. I use Windows XP, and Tim in England, our international director, doubling as our technical director too, is preparing a computer with XP because he knows that I'm not computer savvy, and that's the best way to keep me not having to learn new stuff, but keep me with the familiar stuff. He's purchased a new computer, and he's purchasing all of the various software with it, XP, so that loading all the programs so that when he comes over here, he can complete the task. So he is fundraising or has fundraised for the computer and the software, and I have to fundraise for the fare over here, the round trip fare for him, which even at cheap rates is $1,200. Tim is very good at finding the cheap rates for everything, and that's what the cheap rate is at the moment. So if you could help to get Tim over here to get me into this new computer by January, that would be enormously gracious of you. Send your donation, if you would, to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. I do hope, though, that you can make this special computer donation above and beyond what you consider your normal end-of-year Christmas donations to be, because those Christmas donations are very important, too. So whatever you can do beyond that, thank you so very much. Maybe there's one person out there that could take care of this 15-year-old computer and the need for a new one. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.